and to calling others to this life that is some ways a struggle, but is always magnificent. And so we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we are in the midst of a study on 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. We're talking about the revelation of the man of sin. That revelation involves today looking at what this man of sin will become. He will become the satanic dictator now. We're looking at his life in four stages, and we looked at the first two last week. We know from the Bible there will be a political leader from the Western world, and we don't know who that's going to be, but he will become the ruler of what's called the Revived Roman Empire. Now, we call it that because it is a resurgence of the Roman Empire that both Daniel and John saw. But today we're going to look at one aspect, the next phase, the dictator of all nations of the earth. So the ruler of the Revived Roman Empire becomes an actual dictator of all nations. And then he also then becomes the first resident of the Lake of Fire. What I cover today, a lot of details. We're going to do a lot of reading. It would be very hard to remember all the details. The question is, we believe that Jesus Christ could return for his church at any moment. We all agree? Don't have to agree if you don't want to, but that's what I teach. That's my perspective. That he could come for us at any moment. Many of us believe that, but you know, we sometimes don't know why we believe that. We can't defend it. So what I want to do today is simply give some facts that help reinforce what we do believe about Jesus coming for us at any moment, what we believe about the rapture, what we believe about the tribulation and this dictator that's coming, because we want to understand that what we believe is based on fact. It's based also on sound, what I call sound literal interpretation. What is the one number that we use to say, do we believe in a literal thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ on earth? It's based on the number 1,000. The interpretation of the number 1,000 in Revelation 20, what does 1,000 mean? It means 1,000. Many people say, no, it's not literally 1,000 years. It's something else. Well, what is it? Well, it's many different things. And so what I'm trying to do is reinforce that through these facts, through looking at the Bible and what it says, so that you can have some confidence that we may be living in a time where Jesus is going to come and the time is very short. Once the church is removed from the world, nobody can get in. It's like the ark. And God closed the door of the ark. Could anybody get in then? No. It's too late. Same thing with the church. Once Jesus comes for his church, nobody else is getting into the church. That means no one else is going to come to salvation after that? No, that doesn't mean that at all. Many people are going to be saved during the time of this dictator on earth. So let's look at our graph. Let's go back to that. Look at our chart. Here's what we looked at last week. The ruler of the new revived Roman Empire comes into power after he signs a covenant with Israel. And then he goes on to build a power base, but then he's killed. And that's who we stopped last week. How's he killed? Is he assassinated by somebody? Is he killed in the war of Ezekiel 38-39? There's a war described there that takes place in the tribulation. I believe it takes place in the tribulation because of the way it describes Israel's position in the world. Is that when he's killed? During that war? And the war of Ezekiel 38-39 is an attack from the northern armies headed by Russia, in the Bible called Rosh, headed by Russia, and it comes against Jerusalem. It's Russia and her allies coming against Jerusalem. And you know, it's interesting when you read that passage, and we're not going to look at it. One of the allies of Russia is Syria. Interesting in light of today's news. Now, I'm not saying that alliance at all. I'm just saying it's very interesting. You start to see the focus of world conflict in the Middle East. The focus of world conflict in the Bible at the end times is the Middle East. Anyway, the northern armies come against Jerusalem and they're defeated. And we learn in another passage from Daniel that this king of Jerusalem, this dictator, is going to move against that alliance and fight against it. But we find out in Ezekiel it is God himself who defeats the armies on the mountains of Lebanon and northern Israel. So the armies are destroyed by God himself. Now, if you want to read a description of that, very clear description of that, I told you about Luther's book, The King is Coming. He has a whole chapter on that war. That's very good. But that's a way that he could have been killed. So then this ruler of the new revived Roman Empire, we looked at him last week, he signs a covenant, and it's the covenant from the time of his covenant to his death. He signs a covenant with the nation of Israel and then uses what, remember, we called the apostate church, the false church, the church that remains after the rapture of the true church. He uses the false church to build his power base and actually consolidate his power. So, but this ruler is going to become the dictator of all nations of the earth. Well, if he gets killed, how does he become the dictator? Well, this is the Satan-empowered miraculous delusion that's going to occur in this time, in this tribulation period. In the middle of the seven-year period, he's going to come to power. Now, how does he do that? He's killed, and he goes to the abyss. That in there begins stage three of the four stages of this man's existence. Come to stage three. And at stage three, that's when he is raised. The ruler, who's simply a ruler here among 10 other men, who made a peace pact back here with Israel, with a victor's crown on his head, remember Revelation 6:2, carrying a bow, meaning he has military might. He doesn't bring war, he brings peace. Now the war follows. He promises peace, but war soon follows. And he then becomes a king here. He's satanically empowered to do one thing. That's to get rid of the saints who are now following the true believers in Jerusalem, saying that the kingdom of heaven is coming soon. And when's it going to come? At the end of the seven-year period. The ruler who made peace now becomes a king who's satanically empowered, and you have a combination of two men, the Antichrist and his false prophet. They replace Israel and the false church. As he's raised from the dead, Israel, you're done. I'm replacing the rulers of the nation of Israel. I'm putting my statue in the temple. I am God, and my false prophet is now the new religion. Now let's look at the first thing he does. We studied this. There's two witnesses in Jerusalem. They begin preaching right after the church is removed. These two witnesses, once they finish their testimony, the beast comes up out of the abyss. You see that? The beast comes up out of the abyss. Who's the beast? He is the victor who made the peace treaty, who gets killed. He's going to go to the abyss. He's going to be raised. He comes up out of the abyss, and he will make war with them, with the two witnesses, and overcome them and kill them. Now we've studied this before. The two witnesses get killed right in the middle of the week. He kills them. That's Revelation chapter 11. If you look at Revelation 13:1, it says, the dragon stood on the sand of the seashore. Then I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads. And on his horns were 10 crowns, and on his heads were blasphemous names. Now there's some important distinctions I'm going to point out here as we go through this. But the first thing I want to point out is, the dragon is standing on the sand of the seashore waiting for the beast to come up out of the sea. Well, I thought in 11 it says he comes up out of the abyss. Well, he does. But in actuality, he's going to come up out of the sea. What sea do you think he's talking about? Anybody get a guess? The Mediterranean Sea. And the Mediterranean Sea is the center of the Roman Empire, right? So what was he? He was a ruler of the revived Roman Empire, which has suddenly come back to life under these 10 rulers that he's associated with. But now he's going to come up, and he's going to take over everything. So he comes up out of the sea because he's going to rule over this empire that's been revived. He's got 10 horns and 7 heads, and on his horns were 10 crowns. Now I pointed out when we looked last week at Revelation 17 that there are no crowns. Revelation 13:11 moves on down through the chapter. I saw another beast comes up out of the earth, not out of the sea. But look what he looks like. He has 2 horns like a lamb. So who's he trying to imitate? Christ. How does he speak? Like a dragon. So he speaks like the dragon who's waiting for his beast to come up out of the sea. And he also, this dragon, gives authority to this other beast. So you have these two beasts working together. The Antichrist and the false prophet. So the beast of 11 and the beast of 13 are the same. But what we find in 13, there are two persons actually involved in the takeover of Jerusalem. Let's go to this, 13:1. Let's go back to this. The dragon stood on the sand of the seashore, and I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads, and on his horns are 10 diadems, 10 kingly crowns, and on his heads are blasphemous names. Now I want to go back to where we were last week and look at 17. And Revelation 17, you have to understand that. Revelation 17 precedes Revelation 13 in time. And look at it. He carried me away in the spirit in the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, full of blasphemous names, having 7 heads and 10 horns. There are no crowns on the horns. Why? because this is in the first 3.5 year period, and she is riding the beast because the beast is using her, this false religion, to come to power. And this woman is called Babylon, the harlot, the mother of all religions. And so he's using this religion to come to power. Now look what her attitude is. She glorifies herself. She says in her heart, I sit as a queen, and I am not a widow. Who's she sitting upon? The beast, who's consolidating his power. She's putting herself over him, and he's allowing her to do that. Why? Because it makes him look good. Because the masses of people who have been deceived by this false religion, if they accept her, they're going to say, well, he's the ruler underneath her, so we accept him and the 10 men who are associated with him. For this reason, in one day her plagues will come and she will be burned with fire. Now what you have in Revelation 17 and 18 is one composite picture. You have a picture of Babylon, Babylon the religion in 17, and Babylon the commercial entity in 18. She gets destroyed religiously by the 10 horns. In 18, God destroys the city of Babylon. Because I believe the Bible teaches that the city of Babylon will come about again and be rebuilt. Just like the Roman Empire will come to its strength again under these 10 men. Revelation 18 clearly predicts her demise. Let's go to our Bibles and let's look at Revelation 17. I want you to see the whole context here because I'm pulling out verses. In 17:8, the beast that you saw was and is not and is about to come up out of the abyss and to go to destruction. And those who dwell on the earth will wonder. Those who dwell on the earth whose name has not been written in the book of life from when? Foundation of the world. Earth dwellers are unbelievers, those who reject God. Why do they reject God? Because their name was never in the book. Now that'll lead you off into a rabbit trail, but it's very clearly stated, isn't it? When they see the beast, they will wonder when they see the beast that he was and is not and will come. Here is the mind that has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits, and they are seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, the other has not yet come, and when he comes, he must remain a little while. Now here's that reading, it's baffling. And the beast which was and is not is himself an eighth, and he's one of the seven, and he goes to destruction. As for the 10 horns, which you saw are 10 kings who have not yet received a kingdom. Notice that, he's very clearly stated. They've not yet received a kingdom. They have no kingly crowns. But they receive authority as kings with the beast. They will receive that authority and those crowns with the beast for 1 hour. Why such a short time? Because these have one purpose. They will give their power and authority to the beast. These will wage war against the Lamb, the true Lamb, not against this little lamb with two horns, against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them because he is Lord of Lords and kings of kings, and those who are with him are the called, the chosen. Chosen when? Before the foundation of the world, right. And the faithful. And he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues, everybody. And the 10 horns which you saw and the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, and will eat her flesh and will what? Burn her up with fire. Now that's when the religious system is completely destroyed and removed, because this beast does not want a rival. The false prophet does not want a religious rival. They're going to institute a new worship system. And then notice in 17, though, it says, why did they do this? For God put it in their hearts to execute his purpose by having a common purpose, by giving their kingdom to the beast. So these guys all unite together and say, let's take these crowns that we just got and let's give them to the beast. Why did they do that? God put it in their hearts to do that so he can control their hearts. And he does that. Now look at 18. And the woman whom you saw is the great city which reigns over the kings of the earth, until her religious system is taken out. And she will be taken out. The city will be taken out. The city that it's talking about there is Babylon. That will be taken out as well by God. So let's tear this down a little bit. The beast that you saw was. What's that mean? What? Was alive and is not alive. Why? He gets killed. And he is about to come up out of the abyss. It means he's alive again. And then, this is a 3.5 year blank, but then he goes to destruction. That's talking about the lake of fire. But 3.5 years go by before that happens. So, but he's given the whole history there from his resurrection until he goes to destruction. Now, he defines the seven heads or seven mountains on which the woman sits. Now, a lot of people stop right there and they go, we got to figure out what these seven mountains are. Oh, I know what they are. Rome is built on seven hills. Seven hills equals seven mountains. That means she must be sitting on Rome. That means the Catholic Church must be the religion. That means the Pope is the Antichrist. That's what Luther came to. That's the conclusion he came to back in the 1500s. He's not right. It's defined in the next verse. They are seven kings. The seven mountains are seven kings. In the book of Daniel, Daniel defines kingdoms as mountains. So what are the mountains? It's a figure of speech for kingdoms. And a kingdom has a king. So the seven mountains are seven kings. Now, five have fallen. One is, and the other has not yet come. So there's five, six, and seven. And when he comes, he must remain a little while. Not very long. All right, it goes on then to say that it gets real tricky here. Because it says the beast is an eighth kingdom. Wait a minute here. This is a math class. The beast, which was and is not, is himself an eighth. He was what?
Alive.
And is not. He's dead. He himself is an eighth, meaning he's going to come back as an eighth. And is one of the seven. Seven what? One of the seven heads. And he goes to destruction. And the ten horns which you saw are ten kings, who have not yet received a kingdom. Therefore, they have no crowns. But they receive authority as kings. They will get their crowns with the beast for 1 hour. Then they give that authority to the beast. Immediately after getting their authority, they give it over to him. He's going to take control of everything. Now, remember when we looked at 13? What did we see on the ten horns? As he came up out of the sea, what did we see on the ten horns?
Crowns.
Ten crowns. As he comes up and is resurrected, these ten get their authority. What do they do with their authority as soon as they get it? They give it to him, and that's what this describes. Why didn't John put this all in order?
Good question.
I don't have the answer. Yes. That's right. Cheryl's always got it right. Good question. Here's their purpose. They have one purpose, to give their power and authority to the beast. These ten and the beast will hate the harlot. They will burn her up with fire. That's just what we read in 18. That's going to be her demise, not only religiously, but politically. It's a picture, an image of the false religious system that will exist after the rapture of the church. The true bride is going to be removed, and there's going to be a church that remains. It's going to be an apostate church. People who reject substitutionary atonement, the lordship of Jesus, the validity of the scriptures, all these things. It'll be like a giant club called Christianity, and it'll involve other religions as well, called an ecumenical movement. We already see the signs of that in the world. 1716, it goes on to into 1717. Why will they give their power and authority to the beast? Because God has put it in their hearts to execute his purpose. Very clearly stated. By giving their kingdom with their crowns and their authority to the beast until the words of God will be fulfilled. Meaning that this is going to happen. There is nothing we can do to stop this. We can call for revival. We can get everybody in the world to bow down to Jesus Christ. It will not stop this. You know what's interesting? That's the same thing Isaiah told his people. That judgment I told you about Babylon, that's coming. But I want you to repent now. I want you to do right now. Because God can bless each individual person for doing the right thing. But there's no way, there's no amount of goodness the world's going to generate to stop what God's going to do in the future. We have to understand that. Serve as best as we can now. So let's find out who this dragon is. The Revelation of the Dragon, chapter 12. A great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, moon under her feet, and on her head the crown of 12 stars. And she was with child. And she cried out, being in labor and in pain to give birth. This is the nation of Israel, giving birth to her Messiah. Now, who is this personally? It's Mary, because Mary gave birth to the Messiah. But Mary is a representative of the nation of Israel. Mary is not the Queen of Heaven. She is the mother of the Messiah. And it's the nation of Israel that she represents. And then another sign appears in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon. Here's the dragon we're talking about. Look at him. He's got seven heads and ten horns. Who's he look like? Looks like the beast. Seven heads and ten horns, and on his heads are seven crowns. On his heads are crowns, but on his horns there's no crowns. Why are there crowns on his heads? Because it's depicting the seven world kingdoms that he slithered through in the course of history. Now, let's look at the next verse. His tail swept away a third of the stars of the heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. What Satan tried to do very early after Jesus was born, right? Have him killed in Bethlehem. Okay, she gave birth to a son, a male child, who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. Now, those are political entities, nations. He's going to rule in a kingdom over all the nations. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. That's the ascension. He's at the throne of God right now, functioning as a king, as a priest. Exactly. Book of Hebrews. The woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God so that she might be nourished for 1,260 days. Now, is that talking about Mary? Israel, yes, okay. The woman is Israel. Mary is a representative of that nation. She's going to give birth to a child who is the Messiah. The woman flees into the wilderness. Did Mary do that? Not for 1,260 days, but it's not a different woman. It's the same woman that's the great sign. See, the great sign is described. The great sign is the one who gives birth to the child. The child ascends to the throne of God, and now the woman has to flee into the wilderness for a period of 1,260 days. There was a war in heaven. Now here's the next step. Going back to the second sign, the dragon in heaven. There's a war in heaven. Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough, and there was no longer a place for them in heaven. Now, verse 9, the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil. There's a perfect description. And Satan, the deceiver, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And they're not happy about it. We're going to skip down to verse 12. For this reason, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, knowing that he only has a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman, who's that?
Israel,
who gave birth to the male child. When did she give birth to the male child? Well, now it's been 2,000 years. Who's the male child?
Jesus
Christ. And the two wings of a great eagle were given to the woman. This miraculous deliverance of the nation of Israel, in order that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she was nourished for time, times, and half a time. Times, that's a two. Time, that's a one. A half, that's three and a half, right? So three and a half, that's 42 months or 1,260 days, 3.5 years. And the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman. He's trying to devastate her, so that he might cause her to be swept away with the flood. And the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened its mouth and drank up the river which the dragon poured out of its mouth. There are going to be masses of people in the world that are going to try to protect her. And the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. He's going to try to get rid of every one of them. That's all of chapter 12. All right. The beast is empowered by Satan. Here is the history of Satan. Seven kingdoms, five have fallen, one is, and one is about to come, but yet there's an eighth. Here's the path of Satan from Eden. Satan began as a serpent in Eden. He becomes a dragon by the time we see him in the book of Revelation. Eden, Babel comes out of Eden, after the fall. Abraham comes out of Babel, and God begins to form a people, a nation. That nation is taken to Egypt in captivity. That's the first nation to persecute the Jewish people, because before Abraham, there were no Jewish people. And the Bible's interested in the pathway of the Jewish nation. That's why it's seven heads, not 50 heads. Because it's focusing on the nations that persecuted Israel. After Egypt came David, and he built a dynasty that was supposed to last forever. It didn't, but a king was promised that would be on his throne forever. And behold, Gabriel comes to Mary and says, you're going to have a son who's going to sit on David's throne, and he will rule in this world forever. But after David, the nation split apart because of the sins of his son Solomon, and there's the Assyrian captivity. The Assyrians are the next group of people to persecute Israel. And then after them came the Babylonians. And then after the Babylonians, we become very familiar with this, because this is the beasts we see in the book of Daniel. Babylon, the lion or the head of gold, Medo-Persia, the bear, or the silver shoulders, Greece, which is the leopard with four wings, or the bronze belly, Rome, that beast which is just called a beast. He's so terrible, he's got iron teeth, he's made of iron, he becomes iron clay with 10 toes. Rome is the beast of iron, the 10 toes of the 10 kings. This nation of Rome comes back to life. After we thought historically it's gone, there is no more Roman Empire. It's coming back under these 10 rulers. That's 7. But remember we read, the beast is an eighth. Why is he an eighth? Because these 10 are going to give their authority to him, and he's the dictator of the ultimate Roman Empire. I'm the beast. That explains the eighths. Remember, the little horn in Daniel 7 comes out of the 10. He's not one of the 10. Now let's look at that more closely. Daniel 7, 19 through 20. I desire to know the exact meaning of the fourth beast. This is the one that upset Daniel. This is the one that scared him the most. And the meaning of the 10 horns on its head and the other horn which came up. Daniel said, I see these 10, but then I see an 11th horn come up. That's what he means. And before which 3 horns fell, meaning that he has some opposition and he has to overcome 3 in order to gain control of the whole 10. We only get that here in Daniel. And that horn, that 11th horn, had eyes. That means incredibly intelligent. And a mouth uttering great boasts. He's very boastful, making these grand promises. Remember, he promised peace when he made the peace treaty. But now he's no longer interested in a peace treaty. He's going to take over completely. And which larger in appearance than all his associates, meaning he takes over. Remember, these 10 give their authority to him right away. So he's got all the power. Let's go to Revelation 13. Read some of this. I'm going to explain some of these things. 13, there's really no break here, but in the flow of the context and the flow of thought, verse 17, chapter 12, the dragon was enraged with the woman. Then go right down into 13, and he stood on the sand of the seashore. And I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads, and on its horns were 10 diadems, and on his heads were 7 blasphemous names. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth was like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been slain, and his fatal wound was healed. And the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast. They worshipped the dragon because he gave his authority to the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who's like the beast and who's able to wage war with him? And there was given him a mouth speaking arrogant words and blasphemies, and authority to act for 42 months was given to him. And he opened his mouth in blasphemies against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, that is, those who dwell in heaven. And it was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb, who has, in fact, been slain. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is destined for captivity, to captivity he goes. If anyone kills with the sword he must be killed. Here is the perseverance and faith of the saints. Now that last verse, verse 10, is meant to be a verse of comfort to the saints who are being persecuted in this time. In English it doesn't quite read like that, but it's from a passage in Jeremiah that is to give comfort to those who remain faithful to God. You're going to be killed. That's fine. Don't worry about it. Let's take this apart. There's about 9 points I want to make here. Remember, this describes the beast coming up out of the abyss to rule the revived Roman Empire that's been consolidated under these 10 rulers. And now we're going to see the 8th kingdom. This is what we're seeing in Revelation 13. Is this kingdom going to persecute Israel? Absolutely. They all do. Look at these points. The beast has all the elements of the animals in Daniel 7, right? He's part leopard, he's part bear, he's part lion. John's taking Revelation that was in the book of Daniel, that's been there for hundreds of years, and he's now bringing it forward and saying, I'm going to explain this in a new way. And of course, this is under the direction of the Holy Spirit. In fact, it's directly under the direction of Jesus Christ, because it's Jesus Christ who's telling him, John, you write this book, and I want you to be clear. And it's based on Old Testament prophecy. Same images. They're all brought together here in this book. Number 2, his power and his throne are from Satan. It's very clearly stated. Number 3, one of his heads looks as if it has been slain and the fatal wound is healed. Now, I think this refers to one of the heads. Which head looks like it's been completely done away with? The heads are mountains, right? Which are kingdoms. So which head looks like it's been completely gone, but it's not gone? Roman. That Roman Empire is healed. How's it healed? Through these 10 leaders that come together and consolidate the power of the Western world, Western Europe. The world is amazed and follows after the beast. Here's what they say. Remember, who is like the beast? Who's able to wage war with him? If you've seen a man who's just been resurrected, if he gets killed and comes back to life, then he's the one we want. And the worship of the beast is the worship of the dragon. It may look, they may think they're worshiping a man, but they're not. They're worshiping Satan himself. It was given him a mouth, speaking arrogant words. This guy's a great orator. He's going to be very convincing. People are going to follow him. He's given authority to act for 42 months, 1,260 days. Notice how that number keeps coming up. It's 3.5 years. He blasphemes God's name and his tabernacle. We tie this together with 2 Thessalonians 2:4, which is the book we're studying. What I'm doing is filling in details. And Matthew 24:15, when Jesus says, when you see the abomination of desolation occur in the temple, flee to the wilderness. What's Revelation chapter 12 tell us? Where's the woman go? To the wilderness. Lastly, he declares war on the saints and is allowed to overcome them. God is going to allow him so much power and authority, he's going to say, you go ahead and kill my saints. And that's why that encouragement is given there in verse 10. This is my plan. This is not the end of your existence. It's the beginning of your glory. As for the 10 horns, and out of this kingdom, 10 kings will arise. This is Daniel 7. And another king will arise after them, and he will be different from the previous ones and will have to subdue 3 of them. He will speak out against the Most High, wear down the saints of the Highest One. He will intend to make alterations in times and law. They will be given, that's the saints, will be given into his hand for time, times, and half a time. Where do we just see that expression? Revelation chapter 12, 3.5. Now let's go on in Revelation 13. Let's read about this other beast. Revelation 13:11. I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had 2 horns like a lamb and spoke as a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence. And he makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose fatal wound was healed. Very clear statement. Not as if it had been slain. It says he's got a fatal wound which was healed. This is the beginning of the 8th kingdom when his wound is healed and he's resurrected again. And he performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men, and just like Elijah did. And he even deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which was given to him to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast. He had the wound with the sword and has come to life. And it was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast so that the image of the beast might even speak, and cause as many as do not worship the beast to be killed. And he causes all, the small, the great, the rich, and the poor, and the free men and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And he provides that no one should be able to buy or to sell except the one who has the mark. Either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast. For the number is that of a man, and his number is 666. Now don't even attempt to try to figure out who this is, because notice it says, here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding. We do not have the understanding in this age and in this time in the church to ever figure out who that's going to be. Don't even waste your time. Just know that the people who are living then, once he comes to power, are going to understand exactly what this means. Let's look at some points on this. This beast is coming from Israel. The beast that comes up out of the earth looks like Jesus, looks like a lamb. Where did Jesus come from? Israel. He's going to be a counterfeit Jesus, a false prophet. He's going to come up out of the earth and deceive many people. He has 2 horns like a lamb. His authority's from the dragon. He directs worship to the first beast, whose fatal wound was healed. That's a miraculous healing. That's a resurrection from the dead. False prophets who have claimed resurrection from the dead. Some of the prophets in Israel did raise people from the dead, didn't they? There is precedent for resurrection of a dead man from the dead. When they see this, he's going to proclaim that a miracle. And he's going to go on, not only do that, but he's going to perform great signs after the beast is resurrected. Call down fire from heaven. The signs deceive those who dwell on the earth. Those are the unbelievers, those who are those whose names have not been written in the book of life. He makes an image to the beast and sets it up in the temple. It's an image of the beast who was killed and has come back to life. It's not that the image was killed and comes back to life. The beast was killed and comes back to life, so they make an image to honor him. And he gives breath to that image so that it's able to speak. And men do not worship the image will be killed. Now, it's stated in Revelation 20 that they're going to be killed by being beheaded. Now, number 8, I want you to notice something. Remember Daniel in Babylon. When Nebuchadnezzar was king of Babylon, how did he begin his kingdom? Daniel says, you are the head of gold. So what did Nebuchadnezzar do? He made an image of gold. And he said, whoever does not bow down to this image is going to be thrown into the furnace. So that's the beginning of the times of the Gentiles, when the Gentiles are going to rule over Jerusalem until Messiah comes. And from the time of Babylon up until the present day, the Jews have never been in control of Jerusalem again. They haven't since Babylon. That's the beginning of the times of the Gentiles. And the times of the Gentiles began with an image where the king demanded worship, and it ends with an image where the king demands worship. Because this is the end point of the times of the Gentiles, is the tribulation. Because what's going to happen after the tribulation? Jesus is going to come and establish Israel as the nation that he promised in the Old Testament. That's going to be the end of the times of the Gentiles when he comes and restores Israel. Number 9, without the mark on the right hand or the forehead, you cannot buy or sell. And I think it makes sense to say on the day you bow down to this image or somehow pay homage to this image, the day you bow down to the beast's image is the day you get the mark. And the mark is the name of the beast or the number of his name. And it says the number is 666. Don't even attempt to figure that out. A, you don't have the wisdom. B, God has not given us the understanding to know that. That brings us basically to the end. Phase 1. Somewhere in the world today, there's a man who God has prepared who will, after the church is removed, after the rapture of the church, will, after a period of time, as he consolidates his power, will make a peace treaty with Israel. And the world will be amazed. They'll build a temple under these apostate leaders, and yet two witnesses are going to come. They're going to come speaking the word of God, and they're going to be dressed in sackcloth and ashes. They won't look like anybody special, but they're going to be calling people to salvation. Not only that, there will be a church that remains after the removal of the true church. After the removal of the bride of Christ, no more opposition to false teaching. False teaching will flourish. This man who made this peace covenant will use the false church and consolidate his power and come to power. He will be at the peak of his power when he's killed. He'll go to the abyss. He comes out of the abyss. He begins phase 3. That's where he will rule for 3.5 years. Then comes Armageddon, which is the end battle. Then comes stage 4, which is the lake of fire for him. We're going to look at stage 4 next week. Look at Armageddon, lake of fire. We'll look at that next week. Let's pray. Dear Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that...